friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. You may indeed remember that during the period of when the Irish Hunger Memorial at Battery Park City was being constructed, that we had the Executive Vice President at Battery Park City, Letitia Romaro, who was pretty much in charge of that tremendous, if not the best, Irish Hunger Memorial in the United States. Her involvement in that, friends, during that period, we got to know Letitia very well. We also got to know her as somebody who held about every political and community post on Staten Island. And as such, we thought that today we would reach out for Letitia Romaro and ask her about both areas, starting with your native Staten Island. Letitia, very welcome.
Well, thank you, Adrian. Thank you for having me, and God bless you all. And I'm so grateful that that you came out from Sandy unscathed, or at least somewhat whole. It's just a devastating storm for so many places in New York City and Long Island, and just so many terrible stories that I'm hearing.
None, we could say, worse or more extensive than the borough of Staten Island.
Yeah, we've suffered a lot of damage on Staten Island. I lost power for several days, but as soon as power came on, I'm the chairman of Community Board Number 1 in Staten Island now. And when the power came on, I noticed that some friends and colleagues had started a Facebook page. I think one of you know the gentleman, Sean Sweeney, who is a former chairman of the board. He had started this network of people who had things and people who needed things, and he found generators for people who were paralyzed and for veterans and for seniors, and he had those who still had power delivering hot food to those who didn't have power, and he kind of made a network of friends, and he called them his angels. And when my power came back on, he prodded me as the chair of community board to also get involved. And so together, all of us as volunteers, the three community boards on Staten Island got together, and we located ourselves along the waterfront in Father Capodanno, where some of the greatest tragedies that Staten Island had, that's where the young woman lost her two children.
That is probably the most horrific story that has come out of Hurricane Sandy. It has received world attention, and that type of tragedy on top of you might give us the short version of what you're talking about there with the mother.
Well, the mother was had not evacuated at the first call, but waited until the storm had begun to evacuate. She realized that that the storm was overtaking her, and so she drove in her car along Father Capodanno Boulevard. But the surge, the wave was just too big, and it came over, and it immediately, it stopped the car as it was in motion and began flooding the car. So she opened the door and got the children out and put them up on the hood of the car, but she was struggling to stay upright herself.
Mm-hmm.
And another wave came and washed the children away, and it was such a terrible surge that the children's bodies were found days later quite a distance away from where she was. She sought help, but the storm was so ferocious that, she couldn't get the attention of neighbors to help her, and nobody could find the children.
The irony also is that her husband, who is from Donegal, that he was actually and one of the sanitation workers who was doing massive long shifts in catering to and in trying to manage the cleanup of those who were devastated.
It is just amazing to me that the service of so many workers who have been working such long hours, whether it be sanitation or police or Con Ed or Time Warner or Verizon. Mm-hmm. I mean, these dedicated individuals have been working around the clock to help us, and just a tragedy that this man was serving the public and he lost such a mighty, mighty loss. He suffered a mighty loss, and it's just heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking.
As somebody who spent most of your life in politics, how do you react to those you've mentioned, a great number of the those who do the real work on, and in very dangerous surroundings, and somehow they get tarred because of either the mismanagement or the, in many cases, the real anger that is, directed to, the power companies in particular. What's that like? I mean, bad enough that you're working 12 hours a day and doing your almighty best, but if you happen to be working for one of the companies, particularly the power companies, that are getting lambasted, and many would say with very good reason, that must be tough.
Well, I can tell you, as the wife of a Con Edison employee who was retired for almost 2 years and who was reactivated for the second time in his retirement, first for Hurricane Irene and then now for Sandy, my husband went back into work after serving 38 years with the company and was working in the field, and he's a man of a certain age because he did retire.
Yeah.
And he was out there 12 and 13 and 14 hours a day with crews who came up from other states to help us out. And the frustration of the people was such that when the trucks were passing in the streets, people would fling themselves on the trucks trying to stop them to get them to work on their wires. And it's unfortunate that we are, as a society, we have to understand that we've come to rely on electronics to such an extent that a storm like this could literally, it did, bring the city to a standstill. It takes time to restore. I mean, this was terrific damage. I can't speak for what happened with LIPA or any of the other power companies, but I could tell you here that the men and women of Con Edison were working diligently to restore people, and their hearts were in it. I mean, the man was retired for 2 years and has come back twice, in as many years to help out. So, there are real dedicated people out there, and I think that as a society we have to recognize that sometimes we need a little patience. These people are doing their best.
For those who are in the dark, for those who haven't had the luxury at this stage of the game of having a hot shower, of watching a snowfall on top of the hurricane, for those who are suffering tremendously, many as bad as when the hurricane hit, is there any news that can bring comfort to these people?
Well, I I can't say what is, you know, what's going on with the power companies. Certainly, I believe that the men and women who work on the ground are doing their level best to restore them. The damage from the storm was, I think, beyond what anybody expected. I mean, we did call it the Frankenstorm. We did say that it was, you know, going to be terrible. We did over and over, I think, government and community and everyone together said, evacuate. You must leave your home if you're in a flood zone. But a lot of good that did to some people. I'll tell you a true story. My cousin lives in flood zone A, and her sister lived in B. So her sister did not receive an evacuation, but she did. So the whole family evacuated to B, and my aunt lives on that block. And it's miles away from the ocean. Mm-hmm. And as they were all sitting playing cards as a family, feeling safe and happy, a wave came up Seaver Avenue, crossed over Highland Boulevard, and broke through the wall, and they all had to run for their lives with their children to get out of the house and literally swim to safety. It was remarkable. It was unbelievable. The damage on that block was total, and the block surrounding it, whereas the woman in flood zone A lost her power. So it was, you know, we can't determine what nature is going to do, and we have to recognize that as humans we're limited against nature, and so we have to be prepared, and we have to protect ourselves as best we can. And I think that what happened is a lot of people, they laughed in the face of the storm. They didn't feel it was going to be a big deal, since, you know, Irene wasn't such a big deal. This wasn't going to be a big deal. But I think that there are more big deals to come, and I think we need to be prepared as individuals and as a society.
Let me ask you about the significance of the visit from President Barack Obama to Staten Island this week.
Well, it was very significant, and it was important to us. Staten Island is a traditionally conservative borough. It did this election vote for President Obama. It is a patriotic borough. It is the borough of people who love their country, salute their flag, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance proudly. To have the president on the ground here was a very important gesture, because the devastation was so total. And the one thing that I can say truly about this storm is that the people of Staten Island looked to its elected officials for leadership, and it got it. I mean, our borough president, James Molinaro, has been magnificent. Our congressman, Michael Grimm, has been remarkable. Our elected officials, whether Dem or Republican, from Assembly to City Council, James Otto, Debbie Rose, Vinny Ignizio, have been marvelous. Assemblywoman Maliotakis, Matt Tatone, and Michael Cusick have been tireless, getting out in the streets, talking to people. Dan Donovan, our district attorney, has been out every day at the camp of where the government agencies are. And Andy Lanza and Diane Savino have been remarkable. And to have the president actually come here with Governor Cuomo and Senators Schumer and Gillibrand and say to Staten Island, we're here, we're going to help you, it really raised morale, and it made people feel like they could see some light at the end of the tunnel. So I applaud the fact that he came, and I was there. He spent 3.5 hours. First in the Hunter Avenue site in Midland Beach, and then in New Dorp Beach, and then he walked around Cedar Grove, which was some of the hardest hit areas, and he spoke to the residents, he spoke to the civil servants workers, sanitation and police and fire. He offered us consolation, and he held us, he hugged us, and he showed us that he was our leader and that we could depend on him, and I really do applaud him.
Is the frustration and the huge disappointment and the emotional trauma of those who have lost everything Is some of that reflected in what we are hearing about anger towards, Governor Cuomo, Mayor Bloomberg? Are we getting the correct picture through the media that they don't feel that Staten Island is getting the level of attention that it should?
I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that that is the feeling on the ground in Staten Island. I mean, there was, for the first week when we were on the ground, and when I say we, I mean the community,
mm-hmm.
because I've gone through now four events, and
yeah.
one being 9/11, and I've noticed that there's a pattern. The first to respond is community, neighbor helping neighbor, and that's what happened here. Because it takes at least a week for government as an entity to dot its I's and cross its T's and figure out a plan of action. And so it's the neighbors helping the neighbors that,
mm-hmm.
that get you through that first week. And it was in that first week, I think, that you heard the frustration of people, because when you got out there and you saw the total devastation when the waters receded and the houses, roofs were, blocks away and houses
right.
were off their foundation and boats. I mean, they're still out there and it's
mm-hmm.
amazing how many boats are literally on the street in that tanker on Front Street, which, by the way, was a Sean Sweeney photo. That tanker on Front Street became the symbol for what Sandy had done to Staten Island. So the frustration, I think, that you heard was in the early days when people were they couldn't get their mind around what was going on, and so they were looking for comfort and help wherever they could get it. Our leaders answered, and they pulled things into action somewhere around the first weekend. A command post was set up on the Monday following the storm, the one week after, and services were brought in. Now, the problem that we have here is, I think, with the government services, is that a lack of information and a lack of understanding
mm-hmm.
on the part of the citizens, too, and where their personal responsibility begins and ends and where the government's responsibility picks up. There's a lot of people out there suffering post-traumatic stress, mm-hmm. and they're expected to pull their lives together, to file paperwork, to figure out what to do next when they're homeless and their family is separated. And it's a very, very difficult and daunting thing to do. If it's only one house, it's hard to put your head around. But we're talking about thousands of homes. We're talking about thousands of displaced families. And so there is a level of, I guess, awe.
Yeah.
How do you handle this? And to go up and down the streets of Staten Island and to see the devastation, I have to tell you, Adrian, the first night, I guess it was the week after Monday night, I was riding around delivering food after dark, and there were people who were living rough in their houses protecting the assets of the street
mm-hmm.
with, they took cinder blocks from their neighbor's garden and they built a fire pit. And that's what they were using to keep warm. And they were the neighborhood watch. And there was a whole society, springing up, a different society than the one we were used to, in each neighborhood to protect each other and to protect people from looters and to protect the neighborhood. I couldn't believe what I saw. It was like something out of Lord of the Flies. And it was right here.
Yeah. Leticia Romero, my guest, you were actually working with Tim Carey, who was president at the time of Battery Park City Authority, and whose brainchild resulted in the Irish Hunger Memorial at Battery Park City. You were there for 9/11.
Yes.
And literally only blocks away from what before this, and far be it from me to put either tragedy in any particular order other than the tragedy of 9/11 devastated an area, particularly in the Battery Park City area in downtown. Who would have thought, you in particular, that there could be a repeat of that, compliments of Mother Nature?
It was amazing to me that memories of 9/11 came flooding back to me as I was driving around the streets that evening that I had just described. The smell is the same. It's an amazing thing because there were fires. Homes did go on fire because the electric was on and the salt water and the gas escaping. It was amazing to me that the similarities and the amount of devastation, both physical devastation and I guess mental and emotional devastation. 9/11 was a tragic event, and what it did teach us though was to try to be prepared and how to respond in an emergency. And what I can say is that I drew often on the lessons that I learned as a as someone who went through 9/11 and then later became trained in emergency management because of it. I drew on a lot of the experiences I had to try to help here in Staten Island and to help my community. And I'm glad that I had those lessons because I think it made it easier, certainly for me emotionally, and I hope it made it easier on the thousands of people that we helped through the community boards and through the volunteers. I mean, we've moved over 5,000 volunteers each weekend to helping people muck out their basements, tear down their rubble and what was left of their homes. We've helped to get people relocated, and we've helped to uncover people who were living in their cars and who were trapped. And we've rescued pets. So a lot of that came because of the lessons I drew from 9/11.
The teacher Amara, finally want to ask you, in terms of anticipated progress versus the actual progress made, again, let's stay with Staten Island, how would you measure the expectation of where you might be at this juncture and where, you know, the residents of Staten Island thought they would be?
Well, I think that, you know, the power is mostly on. There are still people who are without power, and it's mostly because it's mostly the people below Highland Boulevard, and it's mm-hmm. mostly the people whose seawater has impacted their electrical panel, and so now they need inspections from electricians in order to be turned back on. Those things, I think that Con Edison was in control of, like transformers blowing up or having to be rebuilt. For the most part, they have been able to do that. So now it's more the individuals. Look, make no mistake about it. This is not going to be recovered with the lights. This is not going to be recovered in months. This is going to be recovered in years. The devastation to the beachfront community was just, I don't even have a word for the enormity of it. And certain decisions have to be made. There were bungalows there that have been taken totally down and cannot be rebuilt because they will not conform to code. There were people, and think of this for a minute, and I think it's important for your listeners, you know, especially those that live at the waterfront. If you do not have flood insurance and you have a mortgage on your home and something tragic happens, FEMA will pay you $31,000.
Max.
$31,000. Try and rebuild a home for $31,000. And on top of it, how many of us can say we don't have a mortgage on our home nowadays? Most homes are mortgaged out. And now you get your $31,000 from FEMA, and you have to take a loan for the rest of it. And even though it is a low-cost loan, we're talking upwards of $100,000, $150,000 to rebuild. So now you have the mortgage you originally had, plus you have the new loan. And this, you know, you wind up upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And in this economy, you know, is anybody willing to do that? And these are the questions that our leaders are facing right now. You know, what do we do? And if you can rebuild your home in flood zone A, after Irene, after Sandy, will you find anybody who will give you a mortgage for waterfront property?
Leticia, I would like to, only because Vonnie Sheridan has written it down for me, to ask you to give us your Facebook information, which is has been one of the most valuable, tell it like it is, forms of media following this. Is that
yep.
Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. Anyone who wants to follow the storm itself can do that at Staten Island Community Board's Hurricane Response Team. And those who would like to follow me can find me at Leticia Romero at Facebook. Either one of those pages will tell you about what's going on right now, what I'm doing, as part of the hurricane effort, or relief effort, and, we'll give you the best information that I can lay hands on, if you're trying to recover from the storm. One thing I do want to say for your listeners, anybody who is struggling to recover, all of the bar associations in New York City, and I believe even in New York State, have found volunteer lawyers who will help anyone who calls, fighting FEMA claims or fighting insurance situations. So I would strongly recommend that anybody who's having difficulty with FEMA or insurance reach out to their local bar association and ask for a volunteer lawyer to help them out. This is their way of giving back to the community, and I can tell you that it's an amazing, amazing resource. The other organization that's helping all in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Rockaways, is the Stephen Siller Tunnels to Tower Foundation. They have a Facebook page. They also have a website. They are helping to recover and helping people to recover from this devastating storm. So if you contact them, you can find out what's available to you. And, of course, the mayor's rapid repair system is in place, and you can find out more about that at nyc.gov. And that is a program that will help you to repair your home once it is mucked out and, you know, once you pass your tests for your certifications for Con Edison and for the gas company.
Mm-hmm.
So there are resources, and I suggest strongly that people constantly Google. They constantly change, and there's always more on the horizon. And please, everyone, be careful of anyone, offering you free money and asking you for your driver's license or your FEMA number or your personal information to give you a gift card. Be very suspicious, especially now. There are very, very good people in the world, and they have shown themselves. But unfortunately, there are those who still prey on people.
I'm delighted to know you as a friend, and I think the picture, one thing we do know about you is that you tell it like you see it, and I hope that, you know, that you will stay with us and perhaps in a couple of weeks be able to talk about more progress being made. And in the interim, you've given us a very accurate description of a story that has been bandied around, but hearing it from you, I know, and I think anybody who knows you knows that this is what is happening. Good luck to you and to all of those on Staten Island, and we hope that you will join us again.
Thank you so much, Adrian. It has been my pleasure, and I thank God that you are my friend. My love to you and Anya and the family, and I am happy to join you whenever you call.
Thank you, Letitia Romaro and friends. You are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.